This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. Colorado has one of the country's fastest growing populations of people 65 and older. By 2030, that population will more than double. Not so much because lots of older people are flocking here, but because they already did when they were younger, and they're now becoming seniors, much as they may hate that term. Many came here in the 1970s and 80s for work, and for the mountains and sunshine, and just maybe because of this song. John Denver caught some flack for telling the world about Colorado. Anyhow, many of these same economic and lifestyle factors are now drawing millennials to the state. Well, starting today, CPR News is looking at what the aging of the baby boomers means for people of all ages here. And we're going to start with the big picture. Joining us is the state demographer, Elizabeth Garner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us more about why Colorado's 65 and over population is growing so quickly.
So again, it's that concept of there weren't a lot of people over the age 65, and now we're aging into that time spectrum. Most of it has to do with our migration pattern. We tend to attract a lot of folks between the ages of 20 and 30 to the state, and our first big push of migrants to the state was in the 70s. So if you do your math quickly, you can say, oh, okay, it's taken 30 to 40 years for that big group of migrants to move to the state. We don't really migrate people here over the age of really 35. And so
it's not like Colorado's a Florida or something like
exactly.
that. Exactly. Yeah. It's birthdays, basically.
Birthdays. And that's what's creating that aging of the population.
And I suppose what's interesting about this is the millennials moving here now, there might be another sort of boom in aging people 20 or 30 years from now as those 30-somethings then turn 60, you know.
You would think that, but it's really, if you look at our age distribution, we're going to look very normal basically by 2030.
Ah.
It's just really the fact that the baby boom was so significant and we didn't have people here over the over that age group prior. Once we get to basically 2030, we're going to have a very normal age distribution.
I see. So it sort of settles a bit there.
Absolutely.
We're looking at essentially between 2010 and 2020 when this baby boom is hitting 65 and older, correct?
Correct. The peak will hit at about 2020, and then it will continue to increase through 2030. And by 2030, we'll have the same kind of age distribution out into the future after that.
And what will the peak feel like and look like as you project as a demographer? I mean, what are the numbers?
So right now, we're forecasting that basically the 65 plus is going to increase from about 555,000 to about 1.2 million by 2030.
Oh, that's huge.
It's huge. But that number will then continue to increase over time, but just not as a faster rate because our denominator, the base number of people, will be larger.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about what these numbers mean for life and services and, you know, how homes and communities are built over the course of this series. But let's get our head more around the statistics here. When you look at a map of the state, do you see even distribution of older people, or are they tending to concentrate in some areas over others?
So that's a really good question. Basically, the big difference is that the Front Range and the Western Slope tended to attract most of those baby boomers. So the rest of the state had a very normal age distribution. A lot of counties, especially Eastern Plains, San Luis Valley, already have a large share of their population over the age 65, primarily because they didn't attract the boomers. And so it's a funny kind of math game that you're playing, but it's the Front Range and Western Slope, or I-70 corridor, really, that's going to be experiencing the fastest growth in the aging.
Because, again, that is where in the 1970s, especially, and 80s, people flocked to who are now turning 65.
Absolutely.
Okay. It means, presumably, a lot of folks retiring, right? I mean, so the job market has to be a factor here to some extent.
Yes. And that's going to be our next big shift that we'll feel is that aging out of the labor force. Now, we know that people are staying in the labor force longer because they want to,
yeah,
or because they have to.
Exactly, right.
But eventually, basically, we're going to see about 1 million people age out of the labor force over these next 20 years.
And given what we're seeing in Colorado right now, that it's something of a magnet for younger people, there's a symbiosis going on there. That is, there will be retirements and presumably a lot of interest in people moving to take those jobs.
Yes. And I think that that's kind of the balance and hope that we have, is that we will be able to continue to attract and retain the best and the brightest. We are going to be facing a transition in that labor force. Typically, new job opportunities are created by two things, a new job and or a new job opening. For example, I retire. And that growth of leavers from the labor force is going to be growing basically twice as fast as it has in the past. So it's going to create a lot of job opportunities. We're going to see not tightening, not shortages necessarily in the labor force, but definitely tightening. And we have to just be thinking about, what do we have in Colorado to attract and retain, you know, the best and the brightest.
You are listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And today we start an occasional series looking at aging in Colorado. And we're getting a sense of the rather incredible numbers right now with the state demographer. That's Elizabeth Garner. I also think that this would mean different spending patterns, right? Because when you enter retirement, that means your priorities change, perhaps. What could you say about that?
Absolutely. And that's one of, again, one of the big things that we've seen in change is that over the last 20 years, this age group of baby boomers have been in that 45 to 64 year old age group. That tends to be an area where you're spending the largest share of your income on goods.
You're acquiring stuff.
You're acquiring stuff.
Refrigerators.
Your highest income earning. You're getting maybe into your second home, so you're higher property tax paying. And then as you age into the 65 plus, you spend a larger share of your income on services. You have a lower income primarily because you're eventually retiring. And you're paying a lower share of your income on property tax.
So this has huge implications for state revenue, presumably, wouldn't it?
Yes. And definitely the state of Colorado has already been looking at what those impacts will be.
Because services are not taxed in the way that,
that goods are. Absolutely.
So that's a source of revenue. Given the changes we've talked about, what does the state need to plan for? So certainly revenue is a question, but I also imagine that this influences housing and the design of places that need to be accessible to folks who are getting up in years.
Absolutely. So it affects everything from health, transportation, housing, labor force, economy, and just really trying to get an understanding of how that's going to play through. And you know what, a lot of people, I think it's going to be fun to watch the aging of the baby boomer, because I think they're going to do things differently than other people have. The concept of moving into a retirement home is maybe not their first priority. But the big point is there's just going to be so many more of them. So you're going to get the share that want to go into the retirement home. Mm-hmm. You're going to get some that want to go to Florida or Arizona. But then you're going to get a lot of people that are just going to age in place. And it's hard to believe this, but about 80% of the population over 65 don't move. They age in place. And so seeing how that's going to transition neighborhoods, and if they can age in place, some of it will be dependent upon their housing type. You know, do they have a bi-level or a tri-level home?
Right. Are there stairs that they have to climb? Do they remain in an urban neighborhood?
Absolutely.
And how do those neighborhoods accommodate them?
Exactly.
I find it interesting that you say it's going to be fun to watch them age. fun for a demographer, I suppose. I'm not sure it's that fun if you're the one doing the aging. But what makes it fun? What makes it fascinating to you?
You know, I think that's it. It's just, it's going to be interesting to see their choices and their changes. And so many people try and ask, well, what kind of housing unit do they want? And I was like, you know, nobody likes to be pigeonholed or characterized as one thing or another.
That's right.
The big point is that there's just going to be a lot of them.
We hinted at this a bit earlier, which is that some in this generation will want to continue working. Some will have to continue working. Briefly, what do we know about the socioeconomic status of the aging boomers?
So again, what's very interesting about them is they do tend to have the highest income out of any generation that's made it to this time frame.
Okay.
Primarily because it was the first generation where you had dual income earners, where females were a large share of the labor force. So that really impacted household income. But as within any age group, there's a lot of uber wealthy, and there's a lot at the end that are lower income. And so, again, the big point is you're going to have a lot more of everything.
This is so fascinating, and I dare say fun. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being with us.
Thank you very much.
It's Elizabeth Garner. She's the state demographer. We have mapped out where the state's older population is growing fastest at cprnews.org. You can also see a chart of how fast that growth is going to be in the coming years. And as we continue our look at aging, we want to meet people 80 and up who are doing exceptional things with their lives. If this describes you or someone you know, get in touch with us through the Public Insight Network. It's halfway down the page at cprnews.org.